We're going to start off in James 5, 13 through 20. Now, I have read this. I'm 30 years old in the Lord. I have read this I don't know how many times. And before I found the scripture, I knew what God wanted me to share about and what He wanted us to look at. Because Ministry House is different than other churches. All right, number one, we're small. We're very small. We are like the New Testament churches where people went from house to house and broke bread. They had meals together. They had Bible study together, what you would call that Bible study. They prayed for each other. They were a family that ate at different people's houses throughout the week. And then once a week they would meet up at the synagogue or at a bigger place where people would gather together. So I said, Lord, I know what you want to do and say today, but what is the scripture you want me to go to? And this is the scripture that came. And I read verse 13, and I thought, why have I never seen that before? Verse 13, is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. Amen. What other scripture have you heard that says covers a multitude of sins? What covers a multitude of sins?
Love.
Love. Read this last sentence. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Do you know that by speaking to a person, a Christian, who is in sin, or at least deviating from the way of God, you are loving them?
Amen.
You are loving them. By that love, you're covering over a multitude of sins. Now, a lot of time, we feel very uncomfortable, don't want to confront or talk to people about the issues in their lives, right? We don't want there to be a strain in our relationship. We don't want them to feel uncomfortable about us. But in the book of James, James was talking to a church like this, where people knew each other. They knew what was going on in each other's lives. Okay? So therefore, when he's talking about this, he's not envisioning a First Baptist Church of Woodstock with tens of thousands of people or however many in it. They would not quite work the same. He's talking about a house church like us. Okay? Where we're called to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to do what? Love each other as we would love ourselves. Mm-hmm. You can't completely obey God's commands by only loving God. That's only half of it. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You don't get that opportunity in a large church. What you get to do is hide in the back, where no one knows your name. You don't have to get involved with anyone. It doesn't get messy. You come, you do your thing, you leave. No one knows the sorrow in your heart. No one knows the sin in your life. No one knows the praises that are going on. No one to share that with you. for the most part, isn't church kind of like a drop-in? Mm-hmm. And then you leave?
Yeah, that's true.
We're called in this body right here to be like the old, like the New Testament church, like it was in the beginning. Our goal is not to have thousands of people. Our goal is to be a family that knows each other,
yes.
That lives with each other, that holds each other accountable.
Yes.
And sometimes gets on each other's nerves. And sometimes offends each other.
Yeah.
But in the end, we're a family. You don't get to pick the family you were born into.
That's
you have
good.
To make it work most of the time, right?
Yes.
Well, this is the church. This is the church family that you have been born into. If you feel called to be here. So sometimes we just have to put up with each other.
That's good.
Right? We're not going to be perfect people. The person sitting next to you is as perfect as you are.
That's
right. Scary, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah. It's good.
I always love that thing that said, if you ever find the perfect church, don't go there because you'll ruin it.
You'll ruin it.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
I say this to say, in verse 13 it says, is anyone among you in trouble? I'll tell you what about this I've never seen. That's a pretty broad statement. In trouble. In trouble how? Trouble financially? In trouble relationship-wise? In trouble addiction-wise? In trouble health-wise? Trouble covers a lot of things. I never realized how general he was talking about. Most of us think, I only need prayer because I'm sick or because something really horrible and catastrophic has happened in my life. But he says, is any of you in trouble? Is there anything in your life that's not going as it should? It might be mild. It might be a headache. It might be, you know, you misplaced something in your house. It could be anything. But God cares enough about us as a family that we are to pray over even the small things together. You guys with me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Yes,
is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Your church family is also the place where you share the good stuff that's going on, not just the bad stuff. Right?
That's good, yeah.
The people around you should be able to praise with you and celebrate with you. And then, of course, you have specific things like being sick. There actually is a procedure for the elders of the church to take oil and anoint you, and it says that the prayer of faith that you will be healed and raised up.
That's right.
These are things we skip over. But these are the very, very basics of church. Living together, knowing each other, fellowshipping, praying for each other.
Mm-hmm.
But then as it goes down, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now say that again. I want you to hear it right out of the book. Therefore, confess your sins to who?
Each other.
That's all right. I got this. Me and God got this. I told God. That's all that matters. It's perfectly fine. He's the only one that needs to know. We're going to go there.
Come on.
Okay?
Got it.
I'm going to read you some things I found about this. This is a very, very, very short sermon because we're going to talk today. We're going to be family. Or we're going to learn to be family. We're going to start to be family. Okay? First of all, it says, pray in times of trouble. The kind of trouble is not specified. As a matter of fact, the word means, is any among you suffering? Suffering. Is there anything eating at you? Is there anything keeping you up at night? Is there anything distracting you from work? Is there anything that's annoying you?
Wow.
Okay? These are the things we share with each other. How many of us in here have a best friend that you tell absolutely everything to?
Yeah.
Raise your hand. All right, that's what I thought. Now, I didn't have one. I didn't have one for a long time until Kira and I have bound up together, okay? Boy, what a change in my life. I missed having a best friend. I missed having somebody to talk to and be honest with about my failings and my struggles. It's lonely when you don't have someone to be honest with. Because you know what? The stuff I tell her, she still loves me. The stuff she still tells me, I still love her. And it's okay. I am accepted by one person. That one person. And you know what? That gives me protection against the rest of the world that might judge me. But imagine if I had two best friends, or three best friends, or a family I could be honest with and tell them anything, and be loved and surrounded and prayed for by an entire group of people who, when I was down, surrounded me. How awesome would that be, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Knowing not just one person, but a group of people has my back.
That's
and doesn't
good.
Judge me for messing up. Mm. Doesn't judge me for dropping.
That's good.
Right?
Yes.
That's what we're called to be. That's who we're called to be.
Yes, that's right.
And it says, this is interesting. We might allow the fact of trouble to suggest to us that God is uncaring or unknowing or unable to help us. So what would we normally do? Pray less. Right? But he says what? Is any of you in trouble? Pray more. Pray more. Then pray in times of happiness. So no single cause for happiness is specified. But another way of saying, is anyone cheerful or encouraged? We might allow times where things are going good to make us do what? Pray less. He says, pray more.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Pray in times of sickness. No particular disease is identified. It means to be weak or sick. To be weak or sick. Now, I think of this in more than terms of just physical ailments. How many of us are weak in our walk with God? How many of us are weak in our struggles? How many of us are weak in standing against the temptations that we have?
That's good.
Right?
Yes.
And when we're weak, what do we normally do? We pray less.
Yes.
What should we do?
Pray more. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many of you are really great at prayer? Raise your hand. Just awesome at prayer. Yeah, you're like me. I'm sorry if I use this word, but I suck at it. Just being honest.
Amen.
I'm not good at it. You know why? I know two types of praying. I know praying in the spirit, and I know squirrel prayers.
Squirrel.
That's the only thing. If I pray in the spirit, if I pray in my personal prayer language, I'm able to pray, and immediately I feel a release. And we're not going to go into this. For those of you who are unfamiliar with it, don't worry about it. My other type is squirrel prayers. All right? And this is a squirrel prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for what you... Squirrel! I'm off. Some thought has gotten my attention, and I am history. And before I know it, I'm like, didn't I start out praying about 15 minutes ago?
Oh, my gosh.
That's good.
Right?
Be real.
So what I want to say is, yes, we're supposed to be praying, but we're not very good about it for ourselves, are we?
Right. That's right.
But what if somebody else asks us to pray for them? Someone that's important to us, something that's going on. Won't we have a little bit more willpower to pray for someone else than we will for ourselves?
Yes.
That's another reason for family. If you share with your family the struggle you're having, the weakness you're having, the praise, the encouragement you're having, you're giving someone else the opportunity to pray for you as you would not pray for yourself.
That's right. That's good.
You can still get that prayer because we're a family, we're one body. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You need prayer. I need prayer. I'm probably not going to pray for me, so it sure would be nice if you would. And guess what? Most likely, I'll remember to pray for you before I'll pray for me.
Right.
You go through the Facebook thing, the newsfeed, people go, please pray for me. And you put, I'm praying. And I don't know about you, but I know if I don't stop right then and there, I'm not going to pray. So I stop right then and there. I don't care how short the prayer is. I pray for that person right there. Why is that? Why is that? We'll put, please pray for me on Facebook, but we won't say it to our church family.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. That's true.
Total strangers. Why? Because there's a great divide between us.
Yeah, that's
these
good.
People don't have to see us being needy. Mm. They don't have to see us being weak. They don't have to see us being sinful.
That's good.
It's just a generic thing. It's safe. Right?
Yeah.
James is writing to people struggling in hardship. Now get this. James is allowing for a positive response to hardship instead of advocating a stoic or impassive response to adversity. In English, that means when you're going through hard times, instead of removing yourself, isolating yourself, cutting yourself off from other people and saying, me and God, we've got this. I've got this. When our marriage used to be horrible, I'd say to Ronnie, we need counseling. He'd go, nobody can help me but God. Nobody can help me but God. This is just between me and God. Well, my marriage broke. And then Ronnie went for counseling. We can't do this by ourselves. We were not made to do this by ourselves. That's why we're the body of Christ. Some of us are a hand. Some of us are a finger. Some of us are a leg. Some of us are a thigh. Sounds like we're discussing a chicken. We are different parts of the body. God made us in different ways to do different things and to be in different ways. But why? Not just to help the people out there to know Christ, but so that we complement each other as a body, and we take care of each other. We love each other. We pray for each other. We meet each other's needs. We celebrate with each other. That's what we're called to do. And it doesn't happen if we do drop-in church. We stay just the way that we were. If we refuse to have relationships with the other people in church. Right?
That's good.
And we have very busy lives. It's very hard. I mean, how many kids and counting? All right? How many hours do we work? Right? But do we have the support that we need from our church family? We can't have it if we don't know what's going on in each other's lives. We can't care about each other. Maybe you've got a need. What did the first century church do? They shared everything in common so no one had a need.
That's right.
Well, how can someone take care of the need that you have? Whether it's material or they've gone through the same situation and they can share their wisdom from their experience. Or maybe God has given someone else in the congregation a word for you. But since you won't have relationship with the others, you rob yourself of those things. We all do. Doesn't mean everybody has to be your bestie. BFF. But what it means is we open ourselves up to relationships and being the H word. Honest. My life is not all together. I am struggling. My relationships are not what they are or what they should be. My money is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick and I need prayer. And I don't care if I have to come back week after week after week. I want to be healed.
That's right.
My coming back week after week does not mean I don't have enough faith to be healed. It means I'm determined to be healed. And I want my family to be praying with me and agreeing in faith with me.
That's good.
Our relationships also need healing, and that's why there's prayer. As a first result of hardships, our relationship with God suffers. Right? Normally, A, distraction. We're consumed with what's going wrong. So how do we get back to that relationship with God? A good, solid, continual relationship with God? We hang it out together. The people around you will remind you. I send out a scripture every morning to the people who are on my text list. And if you want to be on it, let me know and I'll add it. But if I didn't send it out to some of you, and if I didn't send it out, period, including me, I might not look at a scripture in a day.
Amen.
I'm just being honest. But since I started it, first it was just a scripture, now it's a scripture and a very tiny commentary on that scripture to explain what the Lord's showing me in that. This is my responsibility to do that. This is my way of ministering and keeping in contact and keeping in touch with you guys and trying to minister to you throughout the week when I don't see you. But in that same way, you may do or say something around someone else in our family that reminds them of what they need to be doing or gives them a hunger for what they need to be doing. Why do we share our praises? Why do we share our praises? What?
For encouragement.
For encouragement. Why? Because we know God did that for you. Maybe He can do that for me.
That's right.
So when you don't share your praises and the good things that happened, you're robbing someone else of an opportunity of building up their faith and getting through their situation. We're disjointed. We're unconnected. We need to be connected. We don't want 1,000 people in this house. We want whoever God calls to be here to have a family relationship with each other. Again, sometimes you like some of your relatives more than others. Okay, doesn't mean you got to be best friends with everybody. But we commit to being a family and protecting each other.
Yes. Yes.
Especially knowing that we don't have it all together. And we have no reason to throw stones at anybody else.
Amen.
This is what happens when we suffer. We fall in temptation to doubt God. Then we blame God. Then we bargain with God. James is directing us back to God in faith with a reliance on Him in prayer. This is what happens to people when their relationships go bad. They're suffering. James has to warn them against the evils of playing favorites with one another, verbally attacking each other, fighting with each other, slandering each other, and judging each other. But the main thing he does is he points out the oneness we have with each other because of our common need for forgiveness. None of us is going to go through a day without sinning in some way. Slighting God, slighting another person. None of us in here can judge anyone else. Now, some things that some people struggle with may really gross you out a lot worse than what other people would. I mean, let's just be honest.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? And you're going to have a flesh reaction to it. Sometimes you're like, I just can't minister there. I can't deal with that. That's not me. But somebody else in the family is going to go, that's me. That doesn't bother me. That sin does not bother me at all. I can walk with that person. I can pray with that person. I can encourage that person. But you know what? Even if you learn of another person's sin that just really rubs you the wrong way, that's good too. And I'll tell you why. Because God's showing you. If it's bothering you, that's something in you, not in that person.
That's right. That's right.
You're actually judging that person's sin.
Wow.
And you know why? Because you've never had that temptation.
That's good.
You've never had that temptation. Right? Homosexuality. If you've never had that temptation, that can just gross you out. The thought that someone may be struggling with it. Because you've never had that temptation. But if you have, you can have compassion for that person. But if it bothers you very much that that person's struggle makes you physically uncomfortable, God is calling you to talk to Him about that. Because there is no one sin worse than another. None. Nothing. Think of the absolute worst thing you can think of. Absolute worst thing you can think of that someone could do, whether it's rape or murder or whatever. Believe it or not, that sin is no worse than any other sin. It isn't. It is a sin against God, and it's a sin against someone else. The severity and the cause of it, the final thing, is horrible. But you understand, sin is sin. It's turning away from God and taking life into our own hands. It's saying, God, I've got it. Or I'm just going to do it my own way and I don't care. That's what happens. That's how people get into that mess. Right? That's how we get into that mess. I just don't care. I want it. Or I want to do that. We have no room to judge anyone else. Instead of judging each other, we will be driven to confess to each other. Instead of desiring to place guilt on each other, we will become eager to forgive one another. Instead of moving to criticize, we will move to intercede for each other. A spirit of reconciliation will pervade the church. And that's what James learned from Jesus. If you have children, and they live with you, and the children don't do as you would like, or the children get on your nerves, or the children do something that embarrasses you, right? Maybe they bullied somebody, all right? They bullied another child, and you are horrified. This is a reflection on you, okay? Whatever it is, do you still love that child?
Yes.
Do you do everything in your power to correct that child and yet still convey love and encouragement and belief in that child?
Yes.
That's how we have to treat one another. If someone else is caught in a sin, those of you who have the spirit should confront the other person, correct them gently. By doing this, you're actually showing love for them, which covers over a multitude of sins. You see what God and through James is calling us to? That's what the church is like. James's vision is elders leading worship with a spiritual authority in the name of Jesus, Christians praising God joyfully, confessing their sins openly, and praying for each other lovingly. The church together experiencing spiritual cleansing and physical healing. The key word there is together. Together experiencing spiritual cleansing and physical healing. This is the exciting power of prayer. Why don't we confess our sins to each other? Just be real. Be honest. Why don't we do it?
Shame.
Anything else?
Guilt.
Pride. We don't want anyone to think less of us. Fear that they might tell someone else.
Yes.
And that even more people will know and judge me.
Fear that they'll think less of you.
Yes, fear that they'll think less of you. Exactly. And I want us to think about this. Because as a body of believers, being the church instead of going to church, it means going beyond everything we've ever known, and we were brought up knowing that church is the drop-in church. Our church means family. Our church means being real with each other. Our church means loving each other no matter what the sin is.
Right.
No matter what the sin is. Because remember, if you get angry at somebody else's sin, it simply means you don't understand the temptation. You've never been through it.
Yes.
Right?
Sure.
The other thing is, we don't know each other well. We don't know each other well. That's another reason we won't share what's going on in our lives. And I want that to change. It's not going to change overnight. Some of us have known each other for a long time. Some of us have known each other well or close. Some of us have just known each other just by association. You see each other around. Our goal for this body is that we start spending time getting to know each other and being real with each other and forming that protective wall around each other and being the backup for each other. Kind of scary, isn't it?
That's good.
Isn't it? Scary. Because you've never done that before. Just because we've never done it doesn't mean we can't do it. Everybody's not going to go at the same rate. Everyone's not going to be as open as somebody else. And there is no judgment. But let me ask you, isn't that the kind of church you want? Where you can show up and be real and say, oh my God, you would not believe how badly I blew it this week. I am struggling with such guilt and shame. I can't tell anybody else. I'm so glad I can be here and be real with you. I'm hurting so badly right now. I am so frightened right now. I'm so confused right now. Every single one of us has come into this room even. Those of us who have been here before, and we have felt any or all of those things, and we didn't open our mouth and say a word.
Left worse than we...
That's right, when we came in.
Guilt, condemnation. Because you think everyone in here has got to go in, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're spiritual.
Yeah, and it's just because nobody else is opening their mouth.
Yes, you're sure.
Yeah, we come here so we can...
I remember, it's been 10 years ago now, I was really struggling one time. I was coming, and I was an associate pastor at another church, and I was coming in, and we had greeters, at every door. And I remembered the greeter opened the door for me, and I was having a really bad day, I had a bad week, and you know how it is, and sometimes you're like, everybody's, oh, I'm just great. How are you? And then the greeters are—they're trained to greet that way. Hey, I encourage. Will you open the door for me? And he's like, "Hey, Pastor Ronnie, how are you doing?" And I'm like, I'm just gonna be real. I'm not doing too good today. I said his name. I was honest. And he's like, froze.
Yeah.
He's a greeter. He's looking. He's like, didn't know what to say. But I thought about that, and I have for years, and I fear that that's the way we always think we have to be when we go to church, when we come into church and around people that go to church, is that we all got it, we put on our mask, as we say in CR, and we sit down and we play church. And Penny said it, we don't want to do that here. We can do church. We've been there, done that, okay? We could build programs, we could build everything, but you know what? We're not building each other.
We're building relationships.
We're building something that's not the kingdom of God, or building the people up, the church, the real church. We're supposed to be the church. And one other quick thing, and Penny didn't know this, and I didn't get to share this because I didn't see her message for what she was having, but 2 weeks ago, God took me to the scriptures on James, and we share this all the time in our men, in our steps in Celebrate Recovery. And this is one of them it talks about. And we go in to break off into small groups, men and women, different ones. And this scripture right here, as you see, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what?
Healed.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Did Christ go to the cross? What does it say in the scripture? That he was what?
Bruised for our transgressions. No, he was...
By his stripes...
We are healed.
We're healed, right? Okay. So let me ask you this. If we were asking God to forgive us our sins, right? He forgives us our sins. That's already done. Jesus said at the cross, what?
It is finished.
Get this now, guys. This is a revelation God gave me on this. But there's something very powerful about this message right here, beyond what you can even comprehend. If you think about this, whoa, wait a minute. It doesn't say confess your sins to God, does it? Does it say confess your sins to God right here?
No.
Who does it say confess your sins to?
One another.
So that what?
You may be healed.
May be healed. Get this, guys. I'm telling you, there's people coming. There's all over that's going, God, heal me. God, heal me. God, heal me. I'm broken. What does James say?
Tell somebody else and you'll be healed.
Why? Why? Because he's already done it.
Right.
God, I felt
that's
that.
Good. I didn't tell you.
God's already done it.
He's already healed us.
He's already healed us. What did Jesus tell us time and time again? Two or more gathered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two or more gathered. There's power in what?
Prayer.
Prayer and numbers.
Yes.
Y'all
good.
Getting this?
Yes. Come on.
You see what I'm saying? So when we open our hearts up to each other and we pray for one another, God heals us. That's His Word. That is powerful. And I put these other translations up there because you can see them. I want you to understand there's something about opening yourself up. And men, guys, I can pick on us. We're prideful, right? I mean, we're like, well, I'm just going to handle this, you know. We're taught that way. I was that way. And guys, y'all know some of you may be. We got that. I just deal with this my own way. Penny shared, you know, I don't need to go to counseling. I don't, you know, whatever. But the truth of the matter is, I did. Because I needed to somebody else's to impart in me. You know, and oftentimes we forget that. We mm-hmm. forget how powerful this is. I just want to share that.
Let me close in this. Thank you very much. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." Let me read that again. "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." We meet together not to hear a word, not to sing a song. We meet together to encourage each other. But we can't encourage each other if we don't know what's going on in their life or we don't share what's going on in our life. That's why church becomes empty and routine and ritual. Without relationships among ourselves, we can't be healed. And we're only doing half of what God's called us to do. We can't love each other if we don't know each other.